the place of being part of the body isn't just your actions of, hey, I'm doing this. It's becoming complete in maturity, in character, in the love of God, in the peace of God. All these things take place. And the strength to go through everything the enemy sends against you. There's nothing like going off on a mission that God sent you on and get slapped in the face by the enemy. Well, God, did you send me down this? Maybe God didn't send me down this. If you don't know, if you were sent by someone else, Stephen, you need to go and witness to this person. Get out there every Saturday and start witnessing. Okay, I'll do it, preacher. You told me that's what we do. Then the enemy comes to destroy him, to stop him. He'll wonder what happened. But if you know that God sent you, if you know that God has placed me to do this, then when the enemy comes to resist you, you have confidence. If God put me in this, it's because I've already won. I don't have to give up. If we skip this whole package and just get us busy, we're missing on some of the most important things, which is the relationship. Well, what if, you know, you've just been sitting around praying for 10 years. You should go and do something. Lazy Christian you. The guy or girl who tells you that doesn't understand that you may need that. It's your responsibility to follow God. Who am I to come into your life and tell you why you're failing? They don't do that to the people who are succeeding. Only when they see a brokenness, only when they see a want. I want to be used of God, but he won't promote me. Well, let me be the one who promotes you. I'm talking about the first type of church. You need to be used of God? Let me introduce you to some people who need to be served. You want to sing? Let me make a way for you. Let me open the door for you. See, but then you owe me. If you ever left a church because either they kicked you out or because you didn't fit, every hour that you gave, every amount of dollar that you gave, did they reimburse you? Well, thank you for being us for 25 years. I'm sorry you got hold of that message of prayer because now we got to remove you from the service. I understand you're associated with Gary Carpenter. We're going to remove you before the message spreads in our church. But because you spent 20 years, here is your offering amount that you've given the last 20 years. We're going to reimburse you. And, you know, we calculated all the hours of serving that you did. Now, we don't pay a lot. We're only paying minimum wage, you know, $7.25 an hour. But if we add that up, we're going to write you a check. Will that be satisfactory for you when they pick you off the floor? You didn't take anything with you. Some of you were in churches and you poured your vision into that church. And when you had to leave, everything you established and built stayed there. It didn't go with you. But let me tell you what does go with you the rest of your life. Every minute you spend praying in the Holy Ghost. Every moment you spent with the Father where he teaches you and strengthens you. That's the type of truth, type of relationship that goes with you wherever you are. Wherever you move, you carry that with you. That's the building and establishing that he wants. Because from that establishing of who you are in him, that's where your calling will come forward. You want to be sent and not go. You want him to tell you to go. Because when he tells you to go, you're ready to go. I remember watching Iron Mike Tyson. This may date me a little bit. Fighting Evander Holyfield. And Evander Holyfield just got a tattoo. Philippians, you know, scripture on his hand. I can do all things. And had the tattoo. So we knew he was the Christian guy. And we wanted the Christian guy to destroy the heathen guy, Iron Mike Tyson. We're praying for you, Evander. Go knock him out, you know. Frog likes when I preach like this. And I remember watching it. Thinking, I remember telling my friend, Evander looks afraid. He looks afraid, you know. But Evander Holyfield said something. He said, you know, after you get hit in the face, nothing you plan matters. And he said, I know how Mike Tyson fights, and I know I can beat him. And what he did for that year prior to the fight was he brought in guys who fought like Mike Tyson. And he did prepare fights beforehand. So he prepared to fight exactly Mike Tyson. And he won. Praise the Lord. We prayed for that guy. Thank you, Jesus. You need Jesus. Poof. You better get saved because I'm sending you to heaven. But see, when you're ready, God will put you into your next step. Yeah. But he won't ever sacrifice you to move you forward, even if he suffers. If God is suffering because you're a little behind, he'll suffer because he doesn't abandon you for a better model. Amen. There's a reason you're here. There's a reason why you are attached to the prayer message, the prayer center. And Gary said it this morning, really, I loved it, laid it down, that the church down the street, God bless them. They're, God has a place for them, a part for them. Why they're there is because God wants them there. Why you're here is because God wants you here. Well, you know, that's not fair, because that church, I just have to go for 35-minute services. Just show up and leave. This church, I got to pray, I got to fast, I got to lay my life down. I like the five and dime. Put a five and dime in the slot and come out of the service, go golf. You sit there and pray and got to hear God, listen to God. Well, why are you blaming me? You know, blame God. That's my favorite answer. I'm so upset because I should be in my calling. The pastor's holding me back. No, you're not mad at your pastor. You're mad at God. Because God's holding you back. If God wanted to promote you, he'd promote you. Man couldn't stop him. Quit looking to man. You're still trying to live in that other structure. The other structure is a give and take. I serve you, you serve me back. Hey, how about that? We feel good about each other. We really weren't serving God. We were serving each other. Serving ourselves through serving you. Oh, that's a whole nother message there. Every moment you spend praying, seeking, you're putting value on God's word for your life instead of putting value on your life to earn God's favor. You are accepting that the price that he paid was so important. The sacrifice he made through Jesus was so important because you're that valuable. Your life, your future is that important to him. He wants to lead your steps. Someone comes up to you and prophesies to you. And these are what I call need hog prophesiers. They sniff out a need in your life, a frustration. I don't know how they sniff it out exactly, but they sniff it out. And so a word comes out of them designed to satisfy that need, but there's a little steering involved. God's called you to go to a nation, to go do this and do that. Praise God. So you go buy your ticket. God's called me, I'm going. But you never heard it in here. Pastor Dave said one time he was getting ready to fly on an airplane, and a guy came up to him and prophesied to him and said, "You're going to crash. You're going to die. Don't get on the airplane." And Pastor Dave said, "Okay, thank you." And he flew home. And the guy called back and was mad at him for not honoring his prophecy. And Pastor Dave said, "I searched my heart. I couldn't find anything. If I'm going to crash the plane, don't you think God would tell me first?" Or if you run off to China because you've been prophesied to, he would say, "I got to bring the prophet with me." Why? Well, because if I'm going on your prophesying to go, I need you to prophesy when I'm supposed to come home. Because I won't know that's how I live. See, this is a life when you see he wants to walk with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to lead your steps. Many of you will say, sure. I'm not good enough. Maybe he'll use Pastor Dave or Bronk or so-and-so. And because we have an image ingrained in us from culture that the fivefold ministry is important. Listen, when I go to Brazil, I'm very cautious in Brazil because they have a very Catholic upbringing. So they honor instantly anyone who calls himself a pastor or a priest or a man of God. Instantly, they listen to you. A lot of preachers go there because they come back with a lot of money. Because all I have to do is tell you and you'll believe me. Well, we're a little more skeptical here in America, but they're very fragile in that way. They're very open to be taken advantage of. He wants you to listen to him, obey him, and that's it. Let's pause that for a second. He wants you to listen to him and obey him, and that's it. How can you go if you can't hear him? See, just the action of going forward and building something for God because you're tired of waiting for him to tell you to go. Think about that for a moment. These are the two cultures that you have to decide. Are you going to live in one structure or the other one? See, the problem with the second one, that's the pattern I believe that the prayer center strives for and lives for, where our job is not to harness you, but to really encourage you to get to know him so he can put you in your place in the body. But you've got to find that place. That means even though we have a need, we cannot reach into you to fill it because we only want what God gives us. In my life, I only want the friends that he gives me. I'm not touchy that you want to go out to dinner with someone else and not with me. Because God will give me the ones that I need. I don't build relationships trying to win people over. I'm discovering who I am in him. And so this walk together carries so much more responsibility and weight on each of us to spend time with him, to know him, to grow in him. Because if you're the kidney, we need you. We need a good kidney that works. You know, one kidney got offended because the church wasn't doing enough, so they left. And you march down the street with a little picket sign, "I'm leaving churches." You know, you don't see a kidney walking down the road, do you? You know, protesting, I give up that. I don't like the body I'm a part of. You know, every part of your body is important. Your kidney, your liver, your brain, your fingers, your toes, your nose, every part has a place. And to come out of the first structure where it's so generic, but you don't have to worry about trying to find your place. Just show up. Just show up and leave with a badge that you did good. Oh, I'm preaching mean now. But you don't have to work hard. You don't have to hear. Just show up. Show up this weekend and you get your badge. Now, for some churches, it's very practical. We're going to feed the poor. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to raise money for the church. I've done all those. Other groups tend to be a little more spiritual in the way they word this. We're going to win souls. We're going to go pray for the sick. But it's the same activity. You don't need to pray. Just show up, and we'll put you to work. I remember when I got stuck going to Penn State University. And they assigned me a group to go win souls on the university campus. And I begged Brother Norville, please, don't send me to evangelize. Because I'm no good at it. Oh, you'll be great. You'll do wonderful. Please. Surely there's someone else to lead this group. I mean, the church is expecting, you know, numbers, output. I'm a community guy more so. No, you're going to do great. So we went up there. I remember the poor pastor. Yeah, last year we had some guys come and we had 150 people born again in 3 days. And me and my crew, I mean, listen, when I was a kid at camp, we would try to get the girl's phone number or address. That was the one duty we had for the 10-day camp. Leave with a phone number, and you are you're a hero. And some guys would have 15 phone numbers. You know, they didn't have cell phones back then. You had to get the line number. And me, in 10 days, never a phone number. I needed more time. I needed time to wear those girls down, be their friend. Had to be their friend for a while. Had to, you know, all those, because I wasn't that type of personality. Other guys, their phone numbers come out of their pockets. I needed more time. Well, that's how I am with people. You stick me in a crowd of strangers, I don't know how to talk to them. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? If you died in a car wreck tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? Why would you? You know, that's my line. That's my only lines I got. You know. And for a long time, I felt inferior and felt worthless because I was no good at that. But listen, you stick me in office with 10 people and give me a few months, I'll have all of them come in the church. But I just have to do it my way. And so we went up to that campus, and it was horrible. I'm not even going to tell you just how the pastor felt so like, I want you to show me how you're doing this. You know? We're going to stop right there. It was a miserable. I think it's a great experience for all of us to do everything. You need to go out, win souls, knock on doors, experience all of it. But don't make that your trade for your calling. It's okay to do it, but don't make it your trade. And for me, when I discovered it's okay not to be what someone else is, that was liberty for me. Worship the way you want to worship. If you want to dance, dance. Just do it over in the corner. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, don't do it up front where everyone can see you, because we may be thinking you just want us to see you. We had one young fellow. He started laughing, and I'm okay with that. But during the service, he started laughing, and other people start laughing around him. During the prayer meeting we had, morning prayer with all the guys, he started laughing and interrupting people's prayer. So I finally went up to him. I said, you know, sometimes it's the Spirit of God. Sometimes when a young fellow doesn't feel self-respect, they look for ways to get people to look up to them. In the world, I said, they become race car drivers, stuntmen, jokesters, because they're trying to earn respect because they don't feel respect for themselves. They're not taking care of their own business. I said, in our world, we can do things like being extra spiritual, trying to get people to look up to us for how spiritual we are, the way we talk, the way we walk. And I said, this is a prayer meeting. So if the Spirit of God comes upon you and you have to laugh, then I'm going to ask you to take it out to the tree. There's a tree out there. I'm going to call it the laughing tree. So if the Spirit of God comes upon you and you got to laugh, do it out there. Because you're not going to interrupt the people who are praying. And if it's God, it won't matter where you are or who sees you. The laughter stopped. When you become safe within this body, you no longer compete with others. When we have a service live, international, Prayer Center International, dun, dun, dun. And people from New Zealand are watching the service as people here are being healed. We don't want the camera to all of a sudden go up to the ceiling because the cameraman can't take it. I'm just a lonely cameraman. I should be up there praying for the sick too. So he leaves the camera, runs in the prayer line, bumps the preacher out of the way and says, take it in Jesus' name. While the people in New Zealand, a whole nation has lost touch with what God was doing. Because he wasn't comfortable being who God has him being. Do you understand? The cameraman That role plays just as much an important part in the body today as the preaching does.
That's right.
But if he feels inferior because he's just the cameraman, see, individually, we carry the same ability to pray for the sick and to witness, do all those things in our daily life. But corporately, we have a place, a position, a part that we must find and be placed in by God. And as much as you fight him, God, you need me. God, if you don't promote me, I'm leaving. I'm taking charge. I'm fixing it. I'm going to make it happen with or without you. I'm tired of waiting. What's he going to do? He won't budge. I'm warning you, I'm leaving. He doesn't budge. I'm telling you, God, this is your last chance. I'm opening the door. I'm taking a step through the door. I'm two steps through the door. He won't budge. He'll never sell you out.
Amen.
He wants you to grow into your calling. That requires more than just your activity, learning how to preach, learning how to sing. It requires intimacy with him. Vulnerability. Because when he promotes you, he doesn't give you a chart to say, okay, you follow me, I'll give you this and this and this. And this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Okay, I'll throw in this and this if you'll follow me. No, he says, follow me. That's it. The fishermen were fishing. Peter and John were fishing. Jesus walked up and said, follow me. Then walked away. They had to follow. They had to run after him. Elijah walked past Elisha, threw the mantle on him, and walked away. Elisha had to chase him down. God's calling on you isn't a negotiation. If you come, I'll do this. It's a promise of, if you believe in me, I will give you everything. But we have to develop that relationship. The cost of the second vision, of walking where we walk side by side. Here's the imagery of the first vision. The man who would be typically the pastor, the leader, that God told him, build me a house, gave instructions to each person. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. Here's your tools. Here's the material. And they did it. The second vision, the man was not there to give instructions. He was there to believe. And the people walked side by side doing what they loved with only the God being their instructor. What kind of dance is that, that as a body, we work together without us talking to each other? How much am I going to rely on you hearing God and you're going to rely on me hearing God when we don't get to sit down and talk about it? When we're across the nations and we're all working together. I mean, how smart is God? How amazing is he? He's amazing. So if you think you're not that important, if you've been abused and harnessed and are skeptical of your value to God, you're going to find out how valuable you are, how important you are, that there's no one, there's no calling more important than the next. Don't think small of yourself, because God doesn't think small of you. Don't think your calling is not that important. I love our intercessors. No one knows who they are. That's why I love them. You don't know how many people have been praying for you, praying for this meeting. But there's a group out there that are called, God wakes them up to pray. He doesn't wake me up to pray for you. He wakes them up to pray for you. And they get up and they pray and they go back to sleep and no one knows what they did. At least I get to get up and preach. You don't know how, they've worked harder than I have and we don't even know who they are. Your calling is important. Your calling is, and not using your calling as a value system. Look how valuable I am because I did this. See, I can always tell when people are insecure with God because they have to tell you what they're doing.
Yeah.
They have to word things, either spiritual or practical, what they're accomplishing, because they don't feel safe just saying, hey, me and God, we're good. It's all him anyway. You are part of the body of Christ. There's two systems I've noticed in my life. The first system was allowing myself to be harnessed with a quick reward of feeling good. Some of those people that I started with are still serving God faithfully, but very few have grown out of that. They're all still in that same structure. 30 years later, those structures are designed to keep you in there, to make you feel satisfied, to make you feel like you're failing when you're outside of those structures. Some of you left the structure of American church and felt worthless as the Holy Ghost pulled you into the prayer closet. What are you doing? Well, I'm just praying. Well, what else are you doing? Well, he hasn't told me. Well, don't you think you should? The Word says, yeah, but I'm waiting for him to send me. I'm waiting for him to tell me what to do, because you know when he tells me to do it, I have everything I need to do it. But if I go ahead of him, even though it's in the name of him, if I wasn't sent and didn't hear, then I'm building something. I don't know he sent me. Someone asked me what, you know, like, about my current condition, the battle I'm going through physically. And they're wondering why I'm not discouraged or afraid or given up. It's because I know I'm in his will. I know I'm in his will. Not that I've gone through this, but I know that I've been following him. So that means that he's prepared me to go through everything the devil throws against me or life throws against me. Because I'm following him. I have confidence. Not because of me, but because I heard him and I obeyed him. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. And there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I can almost quote some of these verses, but as I read them, I'm seeing more and more how intimate this is, how powerful this is, how important it is. Do you rejoice when someone else gets promoted, or do you compete? Is there a thought in you that says, I hope they fail so I can get my chance? That ambition to be used of God is hiding an insecurity that says you're not worth much to God unless you give him something. To be able to walk side by side knowing that you celebrate when people succeed and hurt when people hurt. That's the body. He's describing your body. If I step on your toe, you're going to feel it. You're going to hurt. Your whole body will hurt. The same thing. When some member of the body hurts, do we all hurt? Are we that close? Are we that connected? Are we that in unity with the Father? This cannot be developed by a man. It cannot be led by a man. It cannot be developed by a man. It cannot be captured by a man. It must all come from you hearing God, me hearing God, you following God, me following God, you listening to God, me listening to God, and you obeying God. Me obeying God. And together, we look and we find out that there's no one ruling over the other. It's all side by side, walking together with Jesus Christ as our head, not a man. The other structure, it's okay. It does good work. But it's only good. It's not fullness. It'll never get to the fullness of God. Doesn't matter how many churches they multiply or how many people they put in the churches, it will never birth a revival. A revival where each of us have the right to walk around individually and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Not because of our calling, but because of us individually. But in our calling, we are specific. In our place in the body, we are specific and we are satisfied with what God's given to us. Because the only thing we really want in our life is what He's given to you. That's it. That's all I really want. Everything else I don't want. That means I have to, if I want more, where do I have to go? I have to go to Him. And He's stubborn. Come on, God. It's time. I'm bored. All this praying. Listen, I'd much rather deal with 100 people, 100 souls, than deal with my own natural man and make him submit to the will of God. Those hours of prayer, hours of spending time with him, listening and obeying. I don't know about you, but sometimes he'll ask you to do things that don't make sense. You still have to do them, right? And sometimes he doesn't even tell you why he did it. Just wants you to listen, obey. He will hand train you, hand mold you into your place in the body. But that's going to require letting go of the other structure and being okay with just you and him. If that's all there is in life, God, just you and me, if that's it. If this is all you have for me, if all you have for me is doing what I'm doing today, I'm okay with that. Because my life's in your hands. And so I want to spend more time with you, not to get places, but to get you. As I was coming up here today, I really felt a loss in some people. That they feel left out. They feel separate from the group. Not because anything someone has done, but just that's what you fight. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I don't fit in. God will pick them, but not me. All the drama that goes on in some people, some of our heads. You know, there's a whole world in your life that no one knows about. But He knows about it. And so as I was coming up, I felt the loss of some people, feeling left out. Not appearing to anyone that they feel that way, but inside they feel constantly left out. Maybe I can describe it how I went through, where I was afraid that I would give everything to God and He still wouldn't choose me. So why jump in when you're not guaranteed that He's going to choose you? Listen, in this family, we're all equal. In the world, they have great men. They have holidays celebrating men. They have statues. They have cities named after men. The world has great men. But in our family, there's no great man. Just one. And that's Jesus. I know hearing this makes sense. But to really embrace it, for me, took a long time. To be able to embrace that He's all I need. That I can stand beside you or Gary or anyone and not feel inferior, but feel a brotherhood and a sisterhood. Feel as part of the body. To remove the competition out of my life of competing about who does what. When I would drive, I'll close with this. I would pick up speakers. That was one of my early jobs at Norval Hayes Ministry. Would go pick up the speakers and bring them to the service. And so I got to meet a lot of great preachers. But I listened to all these men and women speak together when they were together. And only out of all the hundreds, only two of them did not talk about what they were building. Most of the conversation around preachers was, we're building this, we're establishing this, we're doing this, our church is doing this, we're adding this. But these two preachers, Dave Roberson and Kenneth Hagin Sr., they only talked about the Word of God. They only talked about intimate things with God. There was no building in them. There was no, it was only about God. I noticed that. When we want to compete, sometimes we have to show what I have is bigger than what you have. Or if I'm trying to get value from you, obviously you don't value me, so let me give you something to give value to me. I hope I'm explaining that. But when you get intimate with God and know Him, He'll start teaching you who you are with Him. And slowly you'll begin to let go of what man's opinion is. Let go of striving to be something you're not and settle with God. I only want in my life what you place there. That's all I want. And if you only place a little, that's all you trust me with, I'll be faithful to that. I won't try to get more until you give it to me. You have a calling and a place in the body. It's going to require intimacy, time with Him, and Him promoting you. But you are part of the body. If you're here today and you feel that, I hear what you're saying, preacher, but I don't feel it. I don't feel it. My whole life, I don't feel that I'm a part. I want to be a part, but I don't feel it. Listen, I've been through this. And there's an anointing here to help you today to shed that value system and to transfer over to His value system, to step out of the world value system and to transfer yourself over to His value system. So if that's you today, as Stacy comes, I want to have you just stand with me so I can pray with you. You say, I love God, I want to serve God, but I never feel worthy. I never feel a part. I never feel that I'm good enough. Even when I should. If that's you, I want you to stand with me today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And as you're standing, this is you addressing that lie, saying, I don't accept that as a lie of my natural man. It's a lie of the enemy. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Who else needs to stand? He's asking you because he wants to move forward with you. He wants to move forward in His relationship with you. He wants you to see what He sees in you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, as a family, we don't want to leave anyone behind. We don't want anyone to walk with us and not know they feel not a part of us. So as we stand today, we are saying, we don't accept this lie. We refuse to accept this lie that the enemy says we're not valuable to you. And we're confronting it with your love. And we're saying, Father, we believe you. We believe you. We believe what you say about us. And we refuse to listen to the lie of our flesh. We're honored that you love us. We're humbled that you value us. We're in shock that you want to use us. But we won't hide. We won't hide from you. We're going to believe the word that you cannot abandon us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we've been withholding our heart from you because of fear. We've been withholding a portion of our love for you because we've been afraid that you wouldn't accept us. Today, as we stand, We give you all of us. We give you our life, our future. We give you the good, the bad. We give you everything. Our life is in your hands. And as we spend time with you, help us to trust you. Help us to believe you. Help us to know without a shadow of a doubt that we're loved, we're to be loved. That our life is not second class, second best. You hold so much value to what we have. You've already designed a place and a purpose for us. Help us to find that. Help us to walk in it. Help us to be safe in it and comfortable in it. We love you. Father, for all of us standing right now, I thank you for your grace and anointing to wash us of that fear, to pour us love and strength, and courage to not give up, but to enjoy this process. That we are getting to know you more and more every day. And that we're part of the body building the house of God. We honor you and magnify you. And we're blessed today that you love us and you believe in us. There's a few people here holding on to your past. You made mistakes in your past. It could be anything. It could be divorce. It could be mistakes. It could be adultery. Whatever title that's trying to hold on to you. The Lord's saying you've been set free from that title. He doesn't see you with that title. Father, we thank you. Our past is the past. We've moved on from it. We believe in our future with you. We are your children. I hear him saying that the step forward he has for many of you is going to bring promises of prosperity, of your calling. Many of the prophecies that you hold dear are ready to come to pass. And as he pulls us forward into those things, he doesn't want you to feel closer to him like you've earned that. He wants you to feel exactly today that you're perfect. And as you step forward, it is a promotion in what you do, but it's a promotion in your output and promotion in your actions, your jobs. It's not a promotion of you as his child. Because you are now his child. Let's just say this prayer as we close. Father, we let go of everything. My life is yours. I take no ownership of my life. I can't steer my life to the left or to the right. I only want your will. And in my life, I only want what you give me. I'm yours. I look forward every day to growing closer to you, growing stronger in you. Thank you for never giving up on me and seeing me the way you do. You truly are a good father. I love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad to be part of the body with you. We're going to change the world. Amen. Well, you are dismissed. Please stay in this presence. I just felt a stop there from God. Keep going, but please stay in His presence. I'm trying to get out of the way. Please stay in His presence. If you're being ministered to, this is your time to be ministered to.